The kids are going to be staying in with us today. This is our fifth Sunday of the month, so we're going to be keeping all the kids in. So if you need activity for your kids, we do have coloring books and stuff like that out in the foyer. So feel free to go and grab that if your kids are getting a little bit rambunctious or kind of bored with, God forbid, what the pastor's saying, and you need to bring in a little bit of help. There's stuff right out there to help all of us. So a crying baby or a distracted child doesn't bother me, but I do know that it makes it hard for the people around you to listen. So just be aware of the people around you. And on the other side of that coin, all of us know what it's like to be parents of young kids, or most of us do. And so let's be gracious and patient as parents try to do the best they can with kids that just might be a little bored. So with that, could you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, please? I love the book of Acts. It's like every single chapter is just absolutely amazing in what Jesus does, what the Holy Spirit does, what the church does. There's just every single chapter has these amazing things going on. And so chapter 2 really has it's like the birth of the New Testament church. The Holy Spirit gets poured out. People get saved. People get water baptized. It's an amazing thing. We're going to highlight on a few things there. But I just want to circle back to one of the announcements that we had today. And that is on Tuesday, we have some elections. And I just want to encourage you guys, be praying and be voting. We have to try to get our country focused on God. And the best way we can do that is prayer. Second best would be voting according to what God has put on your conscience and your core beliefs in Scripture. So if you live in Wyoming, this is just Mike Young, the Christian. This isn't Pastor Mike. This is just Mike, your friend. I'd like to recommend Kent Vanderwood for mayor for Wyoming. I've known him literally since the first week I got saved way back in 91. He's a godly man. I think he'll represent us well, and he'll do well in there. So that's just Mike's opinion. That's not I can't legally represent as the pastor, as Newhall, say, okay, this as a church, we're going to do this, or as a church, we ought to do as a pastor. I'm just saying Mike Young. As your friend, I would recommend that guy. But be in prayer and then vote your conscience. Amen? Amen. Sometimes in America we get in trouble because even after we pray, we'll still vote our wallets. And we can't. Don't vote your wallet. What's best for the economy or what's best for my 401? Don't do that. Vote your conscience about godly values that you see in the Bible, and then who represents that. What's our best option, our best choice that we can pick? Amen? All right. So the reason I say that is because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, listen to this. Because sometimes I can think about our president, our vice president, speaker of the house. Again, I can get tainted in my thought patterns. And then I have to remember what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, listen to this, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, be praying for all the people that are already in office, and then be praying for who's going to come into office, and just vote your conscience. Amen? Awesome. Okay, so I hope you guys are in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Listen to this. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far away, as many as the Lord God will call. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I start out by reading in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, because I want to make sure that we all understand it's God's will that all men be saved. So we see a scripture as many as the Lord God will call. God's calling all men and women everywhere to salvation. The Father calls everyone to His Son. The Son calls everyone to the Father. It's God's will that everyone be saved. Even the president? Yes, especially the president. Even the House Speaker? Yes, even her. It's God's will for her to be saved. And sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes the news is so bad, and what some of my leaders are doing is so jacked up, it's hard for me to pray. And so I'll just come back down, I'll just boil it back down and go, okay, God, I'm asking for your very best blessing on my president and the vice president and the Speaker of the House, on everybody in Washington. I ask for your best blessing on them in Jesus' name. And sometimes people go, well, why in the world would you ask God to bless those people? They're so ungodly. Because I believe the best blessing that anybody can get is to have the born-again experience and become a born-again Christian. That's the best blessing any of us can have. So when you hear me asking, God, would you please bless these politicians? In my mind, in my heart, that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for salvation to come to our leaders. And so we're looking at this verse, and Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whew. I love that. I experienced this when I got born again. I felt like the overwhelming presence of God Almighty, the presence of the Holy Spirit came and touched me when I got born again. How about you guys? I bet a bunch of us experienced that, the presence of God. It's the most amazing time in my life where I felt totally accepted, totally loved, totally appreciated, totally forgiven, all at once. And I mean through and through, not kind and not sort. I mean, it was just, wow, the love of God, which it's easy to say, the love of God. But to try to get any kind of an accurate description, it would take like a thesaurus and two dictionaries for me to try to describe how amazing the love of God is. Amen? Amen. There's nothing else like it. When you get born again and God's love comes to us and the Holy Spirit makes that a reality inside, spirit to spirit, oh my goodness gracious. Depression turns into hope. Discouragement turns into joy. Addictions turn into freedom. It's amazing. There's nothing like it. That's what we're sharing with our neighborhood right now. We might end up giving them toys. We might end up giving them some essentials. But the bottom line is we're trying to give them the very best blessing. That's Jesus Christ in their lives as a personal Savior. So today, if you're visiting here today, I'll give you a little bit of an idea what's going to go on. So right back here is our water baptismal tank. And so after I get done speaking on water baptism, then a couple of us are going to go out. We're going to change into our pool gear, which is not necessary to get water baptized by any means at all. And so we'll get changed. We'll come back in, and we're going to baptize at least one woman in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into Christ Jesus because the Bible tells us to. The Bible's very simple. It says, get saved, get baptized. There's no 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, 2.17, 1.6. Oh, we skipped around. There's none of that stuff. The Bible is super simple for people just like you and me. Get saved, get baptized. If you're in between that right now, can I invite you to get water baptized today? The only thing you need to qualify to be water baptized today is that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Get saved, get baptized. If you're like me and we're singing these songs and you just want more of God so you can serve God more, then we have to be obedient. And, you know, God's kind of like us as parents in the sense of, I tell my son to go do something. If he didn't do it, I wouldn't tell him something else to go do. Go and do what I just told you to do. No, I don't want to. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I asked you to do it. Right? God says, be saved, be baptized. If we don't get baptized, do we really think we should just go to God and go, well, you know, what's my next choice? I am saved. I'm saved, Father. But I really don't want to get baptized. So what's my other choice? That's not how it works. We get baptized, and then God goes, oh, so you're serious about this. You accepted my son. You did the first thing I asked you to do. Okay, let me see if I can't give you some kind of a ministry or some kind of effect in people's lives around you. Let me give you something else to do. But it starts right after water baptism. So Acts 2:38, obviously it's very clear what Peter says. So how did we get here? I'm going to just give us a little bit of background so we can see why Peter would say that, and then we'll celebrate water baptism today. So this is towards the end of the second chapter of Acts. If you go back and you read the Gospel of John, Jesus goes up in ascension, and then the book of Acts started. Well, Jesus told the guys, go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise. So, you know what the promise was? The Holy Spirit. Go and wait for the promised Holy Spirit. It's like, okay, so they did. Do you know how long they had to wait? They all went up in that, it was a pretty long prayer meeting. It was 10 days. Because this happens, back up with me just a little bit. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 2. Because there's one thing that I really want you guys to have your faith in, and that's in the Bible and not in what Pastor Mike said. I always want your faith in the Word of God. So it says, chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were, dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13, others mocking said, well, they're full of new wine. So it's just amazing to me how this is Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. So Jesus was risen from the dead. He walked around for 40 days, and then he went in ascension up into heaven. So that was 40 days. Last thing he said was, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Now, the Jews at that time knew that God had promised in several places, especially in Joel chapter 2, he says, I will pour out my Holy Spirit one day. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So you just wait. And so they did. They waited for years and years and decades and centuries for the promised Holy Spirit. The last thing Jesus says is, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise. He didn't have to say, well, what promise? Well, you know, they knew what the promise was. Do you know how far away Jerusalem was from where they were? Half a mile. Only half a mile. So it probably took them, I mean, if let me put me in their spot. If Jesus says, go to Jerusalem and then wait for the promise, I'm thinking half a mile, I can get there in about 3 minutes. Because I want that promise that we've been waiting for, that my parents waited, that my great-great-great-grandparents have been waiting for this promise. And now Jesus said, here it comes, and I'm going to get it? You better believe that was exciting. It didn't happen for 10 more days. Now, I'm guessing that maybe John, because John was pretty theologically based. I think maybe John would have already been thinking about Pentecost. Because they went there. They waited 10 days, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Pentecost was a big deal to them. Pentecost was also called the Festival of First Fruits. So on the day of the Festival of First Fruits, God chose to pour out the Holy Spirit on believers, and the New Testament church was birthed. First fruits. Do you know the Bible is an example for us today? Sometimes people go to church and they go most of their lives and never know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said, go and wait for it. And these guys waited for it. They waited 10 days for it. And then when they got it, whew, they got it. So chapter 10 is this amazing thing. It says, so the Holy Spirit comes down upon them, and then it divides like as in tongues of fire upon each one. And the house was filled with the sound of wind. Have you ever thought of what that must have sounded like? Because our houses are always filled with the sound of wind from outside. So like if the wind was blowing either direction, we'd hear it hitting the trees. Then we'd feel it coming through here. Then we'd see it hitting the trees out there. What was it like on this day when they're sitting inside and all of a sudden inside this house is filled with wind, filled with the sound of wind, and they look outside and there's nothing moving? Oh, and this whole tongues of fire that are on people, doesn't wind blow out flames? So as far as what they're looking at and what they're hearing, what they're experiencing with their senses, this was a crazy time. It must have just been like, wait, what? What? Do you know, in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a spiritual expert, knew everything there was to know. And so he's talking to Jesus, snuck in at night, had some questions, didn't want any of his buddies to know that he wants some information from Jesus. So he's asking Jesus about this whole born-again thing. So how does this work now? I'm going to go back in my mom and get born again? I wonder if Jesus rolled his eyes. Probably not. He's Jesus. I would have rolled my eyes. I don't think Jesus did. Jesus says this to him. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, when you got born again by the power of God through Jesus Christ, when you got born again, did you see the Spirit coming towards you? Did people around you go, oh, man, Oren looks like he's just about to get super spiritual? It's not how it works. How about when all of us got saved, we all got born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us new birth. Kabam! I'm a new creation. That's what the Bible says. Behold, all things are new. Okay, now what? Well, what do you mean, now what? Well, now what? What do we all do? Do we all start walking north? Do we all go wait for 10 days? It's all different. Once you're born again and God puts you on your path with your gifts, with your ability and your call to walk with him, that looks different than for me. And it looks different for Jeanette. It looks different for Christine. It looks different for Dennis. It's different for all of us. So Jesus says to them, you're trying to figure out all this stuff and you want a nice, clean, neat religion. So we go and do 4 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers and we count some beads and we call it done. And we all do the same thing every time. It ain't like that. He says the Holy Spirit comes just like in the trees. I see those branches moving. I have no idea where that wind came. I don't know how it came from there, and I don't even know where it's going. But I see the effect of the wind on those branches. I see them moving. Ding. I can't tell you where the Holy Spirit came from when he got to me. I'm not sure where he's taking me, but I can show you the effect of the Holy Spirit in my life. How about you guys? He's moving things around in me. So so Peter's telling him about this. He says, look, you need to repent. You need to be baptized. He starts giving him the whole gospel. And I love in verse 5. Let's compare verse 5 with verse 13. It says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So this whole thing with the tongues and how they could understand, hey, that's my language. That's my language. They all realized there was different ones because they all came in and they were bilingual. They expected to have church probably in the Greek language and not in their home language. So just for ease of understanding for us. So imagine somebody in German saying, hey, that dude's preaching in German. He says in Greek, this guy's preaching in German. I can understand him. And the guy standing next to him says, no, not really. He's actually speaking Spanish. I hear him speaking in Spanish. And this guy over here says, hold it. He's speaking Korean. And this lady over here says, hey, that's Russian. Because they're all bilingual. And so they could, it was being translated for them, or should I say, it was being interpreted inside them by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how they could understand that they're doing this. That's devout people that want something from God, that came expecting something from God. Look at verse 13. Others mocking said, well, they're just full of new wine. Do you know that unbelief will keep you from receiving things from God? Unbelief will blind your eyes and plug your ears and harden your heart. That's what unbelief does. So they were in the same crowd. They were seeing the same things. They had the opportunity to experience the exact same thing. And the devout people actually flowed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and they had the interpretation of tongues. Those guys spoke in tongues, and the crowd interpreted and said, oh, no, in my own language, this is what he's saying. He's talking about the great things about God. But the unbelievers mocked and said, man, they just sound like a bunch of drunk fools. That's amazing. That doubt and unbelief can shut you down in the exact same thing. So the scoffers were literally doing a big no-no. The scoffers were saying the effect of God, the effect of the Holy Spirit in believers, was foolishness. They're acting like a bunch of drunks, and it was actually the Holy Spirit moving in them. That's a big deal. Wouldn't you think that might be the time where some fire and brimstone might be coming out, or flood water starting to come up? I mean, in the past, that's the kind of stuff you see. This is amazing. Look at verse 14. This gives me so much hope for the people around us in the time that we live in. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock. He says, he's talking to a specific group of people here. He's talking to those who said they were drunk. He's not talking to the whole crowd. He's talking to the scoffers. He's talking to the mockers. Doesn't that give you great hope? Guess what? We're surrounded by scoffers. Everything about our system right now seems to be to indoctrinate people to be scoffers. Almost every television show, every movie, most of the music, talk shows, talk radio, news, you name it, is all about trying to tear down our experience of God Almighty in this Christian nation. Peter says, hey, hold on a second. These guys aren't drunk like you guys suppose. He's not even talking to the people that have already been moving in power of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to these people that are total scoffers. And he says, hold on a second. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for time's sake, but I encourage you to go back and read chapter 1 and then read chapter 2. It's dynamite. It's awesome. Basically, Peter comes up, he says, now hold on a second, you scoffers. You remember Jesus? You know, the Jesus who did all the signs and wonders and miracles, fed the crowds and raised the dead and healed blind eyes. And all. You guys remember him? And I'm sure about that time a lot of them are going, yeah, I kind of remember that. I do. He says, you remember Jesus who you guys killed in breaking the law when you killed him? Oh, man, it's getting a little uncomfortable in this crowd now, huh? Because they were scoffers, and now Peter's just drilling them. He says, you remember Jesus who, according to God's purpose, you guys crucified him? You killed him. You put him in that tomb, but he was actually raised from the dead because death could not contain this Jesus. You remember that Jesus? Isn't that awesome? What a simple gospel we have. Aren't you glad we don't have to memorize like 4 chapters or something and try to remember 37 steps and you have to get it in right order and you have to do it? Jesus said this isn't about some kind of methodology. Here comes the Holy Spirit. I don't know where he's coming from, but I see things moving. I see things changing. I see people starting to get activated, and I don't know where the Holy Spirit's going, but we're going with him. You remember that Jesus that did that kind of stuff? This is as simple as that, what he said. You remember Jesus? That Jesus is the Jesus that David told us about. You remember You remember King David who was waiting for a Savior, who was believing in a Messiah? This is that. David called him my Lord. Peter goes right through this whole thing. He says, you remember the Jesus who did all these? Do you remember the Jesus who you guys killed? Do you remember the Jesus that came back to life? This Jesus is the one that King David told us about. Now, when the mockers heard this, they were cut to the heart. I want some of that in my life. How about you guys? There's people around us that are so broken, that are hurting in every way that you can imagine, that are doing a lot of the same stuff that all of us used to do. Their marriages are on the rocks. Their families are blowing up. They've got addictions, offenses. They're angry. Most people now have several different medications just to try to keep them stabilized. That's not freedom and wholeness in Christ. Amen? We've got the answer. The Holy Spirit, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to come and set us free. Peter says, these people go, okay, yeah, we remember this Jesus. Yeah, we remember that we killed him. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we remember, we get it, you're right. What must we do? I love that. They didn't say, what can we do? They said, what must we do? And that's when Peter stands up and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I love it. When I first got saved, the church I was going to was charismatic, and they were kind of proud that they were like the cool Pentecostals, and that's kind of what a lot of charismatics think of themselves. So they kind of take Pentecostalism and repackage it into a way that other people can receive it. I've tried to do the opposite. I try to stay away from labels that people put on. Let's just stick with the Bible. Peter said, if you'll repent, if you'll get baptized, God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing about denominations here. There's nothing about having to stand a certain way with your hands a certain way or laying on the ground or doing this. It's simple. With your whole heart, you repent. You turn away from your sin-filled life and you being Lord. Repent. You turn to God in faith. You identify with Jesus by going in the tank. That's what water baptism is in the strictest sense of it. Have you ever thought of that? Jesus died. He went in the tomb for 3 days, and then he rose again to a brand new life. Everything was different. Water baptism kind of signifies, I just got born again. I'm saved. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit has come. He's hitting me, and he's taking me somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but he's moving in me, and it's different. That's what that tank shows. I'll go in that tank. When I come out, I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. My life's going to be different. Amen. Yeah, this is as good as it gets for us Christians, honestly. This is the World Series and the Super Bowl and the National Championship all tied up in one in an individual's life when they go in that tank. Man, I love water baptism. I really do. So I'm going to start wrapping this thing up, and then we'll actually go to the main event. So what exactly is God saying to all of us here today? Well, one thing I just want to make sure. Is there anyone here today that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ and get born again today? Is there anyone here? Man, praise God, we're all Christians, huh? Party in the house. You guys are kind of a little tired. Did you have your coffee today? No? Yeah? No? So number two, maybe you got born again. Maybe you've been born again for several years, but you've never been baptized. Can I encourage you as strong as I can? Can I exhort you? Would you please get baptized today? If you know you're already born again Christian, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, even if it's been 40 years, I don't care how long it's been. If you're born again and you've never been water baptized, would you please do that today? Be saved, be baptized. Let's just seal the deal. Let's get that. First thing he asked me, let me get this thing right. Let me get it done. Now what's next, Lord? What else is on your list for my life? If that's you, if you'd like to get water baptized today, I see that very young hand. If you can clear it with your parents, I'm all for it. Well, for the rest of us, if there's anybody that wants to get water baptized, come on down. I'm going to go change, and Jang is going to go change, and we're going to come back in. But whatever clothes you got on, awesome. Take off your watch. Take out your wallet. That's about all I got to say. Everything else is dry. There's no bleach in the water. You'll be fine. What I love about this, and the reason I say this, and I'm saying it so strong today, and I've kind of kicking the dead horse a few times, is if you're saved and you've never been baptized, there's also like a blockage then. This is what Peter says the very next chapter. We're just looking at Peter's first sermon. His second sermon happens in Acts chapter 3. When he says this, listen to this, Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Once you repent, once you're born again, and you get baptized, there is a refreshing that comes upon you like I just can't explain it any other way than it's supernatural. It really is. And it helps you from then on, the rest of your life, to be able to go and get refreshed. That's a gift from God. Every day, for all of us Christians, we can go and get refreshed from God anytime we want. He's always available. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to call up and confirm anything. You don't have to wait out in the waiting room with a mask on. None of that stuff. You can get refreshed by God any old time you want. Are you saved? Are you born again? That times of refreshing may come upon you. Because in salvation and baptism, you don't need water baptism to be saved. I know some people ask me that over the years. You sure don't. But if you've got time to get baptized, why wouldn't you? Be saved, be baptized. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, but what about the thief that was on the cross next to Jesus? Yeah, they weren't letting him down to get baptized. So that's why Jesus said, well, I'm going to meet you up in paradise today because of your great faith. His faith is what got him up there. Salvation, water baptism together, this is where Passover meets Pentecost. That's why they were all in Jerusalem, was for Passover. 40 days earlier, 50 days early, now you have Pentecost. In Jesus, both of those hit together. At the cross of Christ, and the risen Christ is the tank, the water tank. Both of those are right there. This is where sinners are transformed into saints. We got a room full of saints here today, folks. A room full of saints. Because we're saved, we're baptized. This is where our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we get born again, all these amazing things happen. And in water baptism, I can celebrate them all at once. So just like Peter, I'm going to stand in front of you and just say, repent, get saved, get baptized. I'm going to say a prayer now, and I'm going to ask for some volunteers to come up and clear the stage up a little bit so that if the kids want, they can come up and watch us get baptized. And then me and Jane will go and change, and we'll come back. And if you're wrestling with this right now, if you're here and you're wrestling with this thinking, well, I haven't been baptized, but da-da-da-da-da, I just want to encourage you, come and get baptized. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. Your word is always true. Your word is always right. We can always trust you and your word. So today, Lord, we looked at a little bit of repentance. We looked at water baptism. We looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how he comes to our lives. Father God, would you please speak to each one of us now? Would you stir faith in each one of our hearts? Would you speak to us in how this applies to each one of our lives? And would you please help us to walk out what you stirred our hearts with today? I ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Well, okay, we will go change and we'll be right back out.
You've been down long enough, no more walking in shame, 'cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change. You've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace, 'cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change.
I have always known
Is there anything you'd like to say?
I want to thank, first of all, the God Almighty for giving me this precious gift of baptism, for saving me, for forgiving me for all my sins, for loving me. Sometimes I feel like I'm not worthy of his love, but I know God is a wonderful God who forgive us, who love us. And I just, in my heart right now, I just don't want to be me who saved. I just want everybody to save. My family back home here. Amen. I want the whole world to save. Amen. I want to see everyone in heaven.
Amen. Awesome. Amen. So, Jane, we baptize you into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All the way in.